Advent and the Christmas season are full of stories, and we can all think of the traditional stories of Advent and Christmas. We've got the beautiful story of Jesus' birth, and there's the story of the Magi and the shepherds, and even secular things like the Nutcracker and the Christmas Carol. But today is a special day. We already had an all-school mass last week for Immaculate Conception. It was very serious, and today I thought we would tell a story, one of my favorite stories of Advent, and it's from our first reading today from the book of Numbers. Today's story actually is the entire 23rd and 24th chapter of the book of Numbers. We read just the end of chapter 24 today. I came to Mr. Madden's classroom a couple years ago, and when I told this story, he turned on a little fire scene on his projector screen, and we turned down the lights. So maybe picture that you're seated around the Advent fire now, and sit back and listen as we talk about the famous Advent story of Balaam and his talking ass. Henceforth to be a talking donkey, just so we can get into the story. So we hear about Balaam today in the book of Numbers, but Balaam was actually not an Israelite. He was not one of God's chosen people, but apparently he was a very important prophet because it's clear that he knew God's will. And whatever he blessed would be blessed. He spoke with the power of Yahweh. And whatever he cursed would be cursed. Well, Balaam lives at the time that the Israelites have come out of Egypt in that great exodus and crossing the Red Sea. And they're now ready to enter the promised land. And they're going around and they're making war on all the peoples. And, of course, God is with them. And so they're just storming across the land and defeating many people, including the Edomites to the south. And now they've come to the land of Moab. The king of Moab's name is Balak. Balak is very concerned that the Israelites are on his doorstep, and he's afraid that he will soon be wiped out. So he goes to the famous Balaam, and he says, "Balaam, I want you to come to Moab, and I want you to curse the army of Israel, for they are about to run us over." Balaam, however, says, "Look, I'm a prophet of God. I can only say what God tells me to say. So it will do you no good to pay me all the money that you promised me, because I can only do what God says, and I don't think he wants me to curse Israel." So he says he won't go. But eventually, Balak sends more people, and they persuade him, "Okay, I will come, I will try to curse Israel, but I'm not making any promises, I'll just say what God tells me to say." So Balaam gets upon his famous donkey, and he makes his way towards Moab. However, while he's on his way riding his donkey, all of a sudden, the donkey sees in the road an angel of God with its sword drawn, ready to attack and kill Balaam. So the donkey, who sees this vision, but Balaam does not, the donkey is very smart, and so the donkey takes off into the field, off the road. And Balaam is very upset because he didn't see the angel. And so Balaam starts beating his donkey. "Bad donkey, why have you left the road and gone into the field?" But they continue on their journey. And they come to kind of a narrow little place in the road. And once again, the angel appears with the sword ready to strike. And the donkey sees it. And so it moves out of the way. But in the process, kind of scrapes up against a wall. And so Balaam's leg gets all scraped up on a wall. Balaam once again is furious with his donkey and starts beating the donkey. "Bad donkey." But they keep going. And they go. And finally, a third time, the angel appears, and it's in a very narrow way that there's no way to go around or move to the side. And so the donkey sees the angel with the sword, and it just lies down on the ground. At this, Balaam is just furious. He gets off his donkey. He starts beating his donkey. And then the donkey begins to talk. It's all in the Bible. This is great. The donkey turns to Balaam and says, "Why are you hitting me? I've been a good donkey all these years. Have I ever done anything bad? Have I ever failed to get you where you were going? Why do you now beat me?" At that, the angel appears again with the sword. It says, "Balaam, why are you beating your donkey? The donkey saw me in the road with my sword, and surely if the donkey had not turned aside, I would have struck you dead. For the path that you are now on is an evil one. You are going to curse God's people, but you are not to do so. God has blessed this people, Israel, and you must only bless." And that's how the talking donkey saved Balaam. But our story continues until now we get to the point of our first reading today. Because Balaam gets to Balak, the evil king of Moab. And Balak says, Balaam, there is the army of Israel. And he takes him up to a high hill where you can see all the Israelites ready to sweep in and attack Moab. And he says, now, curse them. And they create all these sacrifices. He says, okay, let's offer the sacrifices, but I can only say what God wants me to. So he goes up on the mountain, and he's ready to pronounce the curse, and Moab's all excited. And Balaam says instead, a blessing. May God bless Jacob in the land of Israel. May their armies be powerful and fruitful. Well, Balak, the king of Moab, is very upset. And he's like, what are you doing? I gave you all kinds of money to come here and curse Israel. And everyone knows what you curse is cursed and what you bless is blessed. And yet, you've blessed them. Now, Balaam says, look, I can only say what God says for me to say. But Moab's not very bright. He reasons that, okay, I tell you what we do. Maybe it's the location. I'm going to go to another mountain. Come with me. And they go over to literally another mountain. And he says, maybe from this vantage point you can now curse Israel. So they set up more altars. They offer more sacrifices. He says, okay, now curse. And Balaam gets all ready. And he's about to pronounce a curse over Israel. When instead he says, bless Israel. They are so powerful and wonderful and God's chosen people. Balak is very upset now. And you would think after two times, he would realize that this is not a good idea. But instead he says, you know what? Maybe it's the location. Maybe if we go to a different place, it will work better. So literally, for the third time, they go around to another mountain. And he says, now, you can see the whole army from here. Maybe from this side, you could curse better. So they set up more altars. They offer more sacrifices. And instead, what comes out is the beginning of our first reading. How goodly are your tents, O Jacob, your encampments, O Israel. They're like gardens beside a stream, like the cedars planted by the Lord. His wells shall yield free-flowing waters. He shall have the sea within reach. His king shall rise higher, and his royalty shall be exalted. Well, that's not exactly the curse that Balak wanted. And so finally, after three times, he says, that's it. That's enough. I'm done. Forget it. Go home, Balaam. You're no good to me. Well, Balaam says, I told you. All I could do is say what God wanted. And that's when he utters the fourth and final oracle, which is the end of our reading today, which is what makes this an Advent story. Because Balaam then says, I see him, though not now. I behold him, though not near. A star shall advance from Jacob, and a staff shall rise from Israel. There's a famous Christmas Advent song about just this verse that Felix Mendelssohn wrote called A Star Shall Come Out of Jacob. That star in the Old Testament would be the symbol of a king. So Balaam is prophesying that a great king will come from this people Israel. A scepter is the symbol of his power and his ruling. A scepter shall rise out of Israel. Could be King David. Probably, in some respect, it refers to King David. But more than that, think to the birth of Jesus. How do the Magi in the East recognize Jesus? They say, where is the newborn king? We have seen his star rise in the East, and we've come to do him homage. Balaam, although not an Israelite, certainly not a Christian in the Old Testament, prophesies that a star shall come out of Jacob, and a staff shall rise out of Israel. He prophesies about the coming of King David, certainly, but even more than that, the coming of Jesus. The star announces his birth, the birth of the great king. It's a great story. It's the only place in the Bible where you can find a talking donkey, and that in itself is pretty neat. But there has to be a little bit of a moral to the story. And I think the moral is that God's will be done. Balaam tries to go out of his way to curse, and he can't do it because God has chosen Israel. He's blessed them. Instead, he prophesies about the coming of the great king. Despite Balak's efforts to thwart God's plan, he can't do it. God's will be done. Think of all the obstacles that stood in the way of Jesus' birth. was not enough. All the things that stood in the way, how Herod then, even after his birth, tries to kill all the little babies in Bethlehem, can't kill Jesus. All the people who tried to stop Jesus' mission and his life couldn't do it. God's plan is victorious. And the good news for us is that that star, that staff, is for us too. Jesus comes and he says, the plan that he has for you cannot be stopped. We just had our penance services last week. We got rid of everything that could stand in the way of God's plan. And God says to each of you, he has his plan and he will be victorious. God will bring about the great plans he has for your life. We needn't give up. So have courage. Have hope. That's why we read this in Advent, because of the line about the star and the staff. But I think even more than that, to have hope that the plans God has for you have been in place since before you were born. A star shall arise from Jacob. A scepter shall rule over Israel. We wait for his coming at Christmas, but we also know that he comes to us at Mass today. May we be ready, watchful, and waiting as God brings about his good work in us.